Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Yeah? Now, I think the last part of Genesis, from chapter 37 onwards, focuses mainly on Joseph. Right? So, Joseph is the main character in this section of the scriptures. And we also see that Jacob is mentioned. So, in a way, yeah, these are the two key characters in this section of the scriptures. You know, yesterday we touched on the house of Judah and how two out of his three sons were killed by God himself, right? As we know, and this happened in the family of the Lord, yeah? So it is like it served as a very stern reminder to us. Yeah? Although God has chosen the family, you find that God expected them, you know, and to carry out the covenantal condition attached to the covenant that He had with Abraham. Remember, I told you. Genesis, yeah, chapter 17. Let's look at it again. When God initiated the covenant, and what did God say to Abraham? Now we turn to chapter 17. I want to read verse 8 and verse 9. Yeah, just to refresh your memory on what we did before. Verse 8. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possessions, and I will be their God. Now, look at verse 9. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendant after you throughout their generations. So there is a condition attached to the covenant, yet that is, on the part of the descendants of Abraham, they must fulfill this requirement. Now, what is that requirement? Keeping what? The covenants of God. Basically, it means they must be law-abiding citizens in the kingdom of God in the land of Canaan. Right? Now, so when you look at chapter 38, when they fail to abide by the rules of God and judgment of God, came upon them without any reservation, all right, without mercy. Okay, now so it's quite clear, that's why the Bible said God killed them both, and because they were wicked in the eyes of God, right? Now I think the same holds true with us today. We have been initiated, or we have been ushered into the covenant with God. And this covenant is started with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, you know, being in the covenant of God, surely, you know, we shall receive, you know, blessing from God. According to Ephesians, we shall receive, in fact, we have received, you know, all the heavenly blessings, right? Now, the thing is, we must abide by the truth of God, right? Any willful violation against the truth of God shall be recompensed with the full force of the law of God. Right? Now, so that's why I think we have to be very careful with ourselves. Being God's children obviously is a great blessing, right, that you can never find in this world. However, we also have a duty towards God. Okay? Now, so chapter 38 basically, you know, tells us that. Now, obviously, we also believe that, you know, the flow of the story of Joseph, yeah, is interrupted by this event, obviously with a purpose. And that is to show us, yeah, what life is all about. Okay, Now, you see that Joseph, you know, was sold to Egypt. His liberty, his freedom, like, was, you know, taken away from him. And yet he was able to live a very godly life. Right? Now, on the contrary, Judah and his son, you know, will live in freedom, and yet they failed to abide by the principle of God. Right? Now, so it's a very sharp contrast, okay, which tells us what is more important in life. Right? Now, sometimes I think we are very much saddened, you know, by the environment that we are in. Okay? Now, if you are not a you know, some people like feel that, okay, if they are not educated, you know, they right, you know, they are not educated, it's like they are restricted, you know, from climbing up their career ladder. It's like there is a limitation. Okay. Now again, you find that from the scriptures, it's not about what kind of job you have, right? Rather, is what is how God fearing you are. That is the main teachings that we can gather. All right. Now, obviously, I want you to read also Psalm chapter 78. Yeah? Psalm chapter 78. I think we read this before, but never mind, we read again. 67. No, we didn't read this. I think we read verse 68, but I want you to read verse 67. Now, you know, Psalm 78 is quite a special chapter, because it's like, you know, reiterates, you know, the history of the chosen people. In great, not only in great details, but you find that, you know, this chapter actually assigned a lot of meaning and teaching to many of the events that happens in the history of the chosen. Okay, I want you to look at verse 67. Not only about historical facts, it actually points to the future as well. Now, 67. Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. Alright? Now, now, it seems that three tribes have been mentioned. Yeah, the first one is what? Joseph. Yeah, Joseph. Okay. Number two, Ephraim. Number three, Judah. Yeah. Now, if you look at the background of these three tribes, yeah, and in the context of Genesis, this is the most honorable one. Yeah, because he was chosen by God to save what? To save his people, right? Now, not only that, we find that Joseph actually behaved very well, right? Now, so, but the Bible says God did not choose Joseph, right? Now, if you look at Ephraim, yeah, historically speaking, Ephraim is the biggest tribe, the most powerful. You can see this in what? Judges as well. Big bully, this guy. Is that also? Why didn't you ask me to go and fight? That kind of thing. Yeah? The biggest tribe. And yet, God did not choose this. But God chose Judah. You find that this one is quite corrupt. When you look at chapter 38, is that also quite corrupt? Right? Now, the point I'm making is this, yeah? The point I'm making is this. in terms of God choosing, right, as far as election is concerned, okay, you find that God's choice does not depend on how good you are. Okay? Now, God's choice does not depend on what? How powerful you are. Right? Now, instead we find that God chose Judah, even though, historically speaking, Judah was not very what? Not very good morally, put it this way. Right? So God choosing transcends man's expectation. That's why when you look at the New Testament scriptures, the Bible tells us that it is not by the deeds of man that we are saved. Okay? It is purely based on the grace of God that our sins are forgiven. Now, this is the idea. So when you look at Psalms, okay, actually it gives us this idea very clearly. And in fact, when you look at Deuteronomy, yeah, Moses said, God said to Moses that God has chosen Israel not because Israel is a big tribe, precisely because Israel is very small, that God has chosen the tribe. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, so in terms of God choosing, it does not depend on how good you are. Right? It does not depend on how powerful you are. It's purely God's choice. Okay? Now, you find that in Psalm chapter 78, it says what? This Judah is the Mount Zion whom he loved. Right? Whom he loved. Now today, if you look at the church, right, the church, the end time true church, you'll find that not everyone is wise according to the standard of the world, and not everyone is powerful according to the standard of the world, and not everyone is good according to the moral standard of God. And yet God has chosen the church. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying now, right? So this is the idea, okay? This is the idea given. Right. Turn back, yeah? To right, now we start the story of Joseph, yeah? Okay, we look at chapter 37. Now, I want you to look at verse 1, yeah? And now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. Okay, so his father, obviously, refers to Isaac. Okay, so Isaac, well, lived in the land of Canaan as a stranger or as a sojourner or temporary resident. Okay, now, so now, think about the life of Isaac. Yeah? You find that Isaac was given everything from the father, right? And Isaac was so powerful that even what the Philistines, yeah, were afraid of him, because they could clearly see that God was with them. And yet you find that the Bible says the land of Canaan, Isaac in the land of Canaan was like a stranger. This is the type of life that he lived, okay? And which is very identical to the one that his father lived as well. You remember, Abraham said he was only a sojourner. What prompted him to say that? Do you remember? What prompted him to say that? Yes. Yes. After the wife died, yeah? Now we turn to chapter 23. Chapter 23, we read verse 4. Now, verse 4. I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Now, in fact, this is also reiterated in the book of Hebrews. Alright? Well, the ancient saints, you know, the ancient characters, you know, deemed themselves to be sojourners or to be what? Pilgrims. And that's why with faith they were able to see the heavenly kingdom, even though it's like it was so, you know, far away from them. Okay, so this is the lifestyle that they lived in the land of Canaan, right? In the promised land. Okay, now I want you to look at the story now. Can I ask you a question? You know that Joseph reported the bad behavior of his brothers to the father. Do you think he reported all of them? How many do you think he reported to the father? How many? Hello? How many? All their brothers? Or 11 of them? Or 10 of them? Yes. How do you know? Yes, how many children do they have? Two each? Yes, four only actually. Four. Now don't tell the RE kids, and you see, you know, Joseph reported all his brothers' bad behavior to the father. Actually only four. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now we look at verse 2. Now, this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the son of Bilhah and the son of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Only four. Alright? So meaning this four were not behaving too well. That's why Joseph, being so upright, told the father what the brothers did. Okay, now I want to start remembering some of the facts. Now, what did Joseph do here? What did he do? Apart from reporting to the father, what did he do here? According to verse 2, what did he do? Yes. Okay, he was looking after the flock, yeah? Right, now he was like a shepherd boy. Okay, now bear this in mind. Now, if you pay attention to all these small details, then you begin to understand how God trained him up. Eventually, he became what? The governor of Egypt. Right? Okay, now, first is, he was given the task of looking after the sheep. Yeah. Now, the Bible also says, Israel, Jacob, show a bit of favoritism, partiality. What? And he loved what? Joseph more than all his children, yeah? Now, the reason given is because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Right? Now, I'm not sure how big the age gap is. Yeah, it could be quite. You know, the age gap is quite big here. Right? Now, I want you to look at verse 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Okay? Now, the term hated is used. That's why I said some of the words, keywords you need to pay attention to. Like hated. Now, then you have to ask, where does this thing come from? Where does this come from? Where do you think this hatred? Genesis? Oh, Genesis. 我多一点问题，不好意思。 Okay. So, jealousy. Okay. Jealousy, so produces what? Hatred, and hatred produces what? Produces what? Okay, disharmony, isn't it? Now you find that they could not speak peaceably to what? To Joseph. Yeah. Now I want you to read. Verse 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Right?
Well, it's quite strange, isn't it? Right? So, when a person's emotion is not well governed by or regulated by the Word of God, then you can see that it produces negative energy, right? Now sometimes we find that we channel our energy to do things which are not very edifying. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now I think as believers of God we should master every ounce of our energy to do things which are pleasing in the eyes of God. Right? Very negative. You can even sense it by reading the chapter itself. Right? The entire family setting is very tense and is filled with what? Negativities. Right? Why? Because of jealousy. The Bible say what? Jealousy is like the what? It's like the rottenness in the bone. Where is it? Jealousy is like the rottenness in the bone. Yeah, I know Proverbs chapter. Proverbs. You're correct. Rottenness? Is it not jealousy?
It's a sorrowful state.
Oh, okay. Maybe you're right. I thought jealousy as well, is it not? Is it not? Or maybe I made mistakes. Maybe you're right. I'm not sure. Envy, Envy is the same. Yeah. Thank you. That's the one I'm talking about. Verse 30, that's the one I'm talking about. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy, is another word for what? For jealousy, on enviousness, or being envious of others. But envy is rottenness to the bones. Is that not so? 中文是怎么呢？口中的朽烂面，朽烂，rot. Right now,
So if you look at verse 30, yeah, there are two parts. The first part is the positive one, and the second part is the negative one. Right? Now, so if a person harbors jealousy, it means that he does not have a sound heart. Okay? It comes from the heart. So jealousy produces something which is not what good for the heart, right? Or not good for the spiritual makeup of the person. Right? Okay. Now we come back to chapter 37, yeah? Now you find that God actually has arranged the whole thing in such a way that, you know, eventually, yeah, Joseph was sold to Egypt, right? Now, because later on when you read the conversation between Joseph and his brothers, we came to realize that the entire, you know, episode of Joseph actually was the master design of God. Okay, now I want to read, if you look at verse 6 onwards, verse 5 onwards, here he had a dream, and obviously he was still very young. He was, to me, being a bit naive here, right? Because he related his dream to his brothers who hated him so much. Okay, now the dream is about, you know, the brothers bowing down, you know, including the parents bowing down to him. Okay, now I want to read verse 8. And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more. Now, so you find that the intensity of the hatred, increases. Now here, hated him even more. Right? Now, first I want you to understand this, yeah? If a cure is not forthcoming, then it develop what? Then it develop into a murderous intent. Right, this is exactly what happened to the brothers of Joseph. Okay? Now, we move on. Now here on one occasion, if you read from verse 12, yeah. Now the brother went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Right? Now where the sister was defiled, okay? And it's a place where what? They kill all the Shechemites. Now, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Now, so from a very young age, we find that he was what? He was very obedient to the parents. Right? And he was very, responsive, yeah, to what the father had instructed him to do. Okay, now, so this is a very, important characteristic to have. Okay, now, so imagine, you know, if you were Joseph, you were told to go to see the brothers. What would you do? Will you go? Okay, can I ask a question? Where were Jacob at the time? Jacob and Joseph, where were they? Where were they? Hey? Canaan, yeah. My Canaan is bigger. Where did they live? Eh? Hebron? Okay, I want to trace the journey. Yeah? Sorry, I didn't bring the map, so it's easier. I'll just show you. Big one. Okay, where's Hebron? So where is Shechem? Can anyone find Shechem? Where's Shechem? Where? The left of River Jordan. Mine don't have, you know. Okay, measure the distance, please. Fifty miles. Would you go? Hello, would you go? And then your brothers were not very happy with you. Would you go? You drive Lexus or Mercedes Benz, or BMW. Okay, now so he went, right? So he was in a way a very obedient person. Now upon arriving there, he did not find his brothers. So he tried to locate where the brothers were. You know, that's why he asked around. Okay, now so the people told him they have gone to where? Dothan. Where is Dothan? How far? It's about another 30 miles up north, isn't it? Yeah? Now, again, if you were there, if you were Joseph, yeah? If you were Joseph, you arrive Shechem, you look around, hey, they were not there, let's go home. Then also, and then you go back to tell your father. They have gone somewhere, I don't know where they have gone to, forget about it, you know, that kind of thing. Huh? But here we see that this young lad, this young guy here, was very obedient, very faithful as well. Obedient and faithful. So, you know, for him to go all the way there, it's about 100 miles. I mean, it's not 100 miles, about 100 kilometers. Right? Okay, enough. We'll come back. Now, look at the reaction from the brothers when they saw him afar off. Now, verse 18, chapter 37, verse 18. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill what? To kill him. Remember I told you this? Here's the thing. So if you are angry with someone, if you don't get rid of your anger, if you allow your anger to develop into a kind of hatred, then very likely you will develop this as well. Yeah, that's why the Bible says that envy, okay, it's not from jealousy, isn't it? Jealousy, it's like a rottenness, of the bones. You know, if you don't look for a cure, quick enough, then what happens? That all your bones will be affected, right? In a way, right? That's the idea. Murderous intent.
You know, sometimes we see incidents in the church. You find that certain incidents only involve with very minute or trivial matters, negligible, right? And yet it can develop into something beyond restoration. It's quite unbelievable. Why? Because we allow the emotion within us to get the better of us. You understand what I'm saying? That's the problem. Right? Okay, now we come back. So conspiracy begins. Now, look at the suggestions given by the brothers. It's unbelievable. Look at verse 20. Come, therefore, let us now kill him. Murderous intent. Okay? Kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. What? It's very hard to imagine that kind of mindset, you know. You know, how can you know, people end up killing their own brother? But Joseph was their brother. Why did they want to kill him? You get what I'm saying? Okay? Now, come back. Now we look at verse 21, and obviously Reuben, did not want him to be killed. So when Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." Right? And this guy still have a bit of conscience. Right? And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." At least you find that Reuben was not willing to kill his own brother, right, Joseph. He wanted to save him. But you find that the entire group must have been driven by the four, whom Joseph report their bad behaviors to the father. Right? Obviously, they were angry with him. Okay, now we look at verse 23. So it came to pass, when Joseph has come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him, and cast him into the pits. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Right? Now, you find that later, this picture actually was described in the later chapters by his own brothers. Right? We'll come to that, as the lesson progresses. Yeah? Okay, now, because when the brother talk about the incident, actually they describe the anguish, that Joseph had gone through. Right? They talk about this because their guilty conscience, their conscience was pricked. Right? Okay, now, we look at it. Now, read verse 25. Yeah? And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. Now, the Bible says there was no water, and this guy was sitting there enjoying their food. Right? Now, the point I want to make is this. You know that Joseph took all the trouble to locate their brothers, his brothers, okay? And yet they could not see the love that Joseph has shown. They could not see this brotherliness or brotherlyhood amongst them. Yeah, what they can only see is to get rid of this guy. Right? And to them, this is like intolerable person in their life, who must be removed, that kind of thing. Right? Now, you can see that when a person is filled with anger, filled with hatred, then nothing good will come out from his action. Right? Now, sometimes when you listen to people, okay, you'll be able to tell whether this person is angry or not. By just listening to the word that he speaks, we begin to understand that sometimes this guy is filled with rage within, because he's not happy with things around him. Right? Now, actually, you find that what he said might not be a true representation, for example, of the state of the church. Yeah? And actually, what? He is like, he tried to blow things out of proportion because of his anger. Right? That's why you find that the brothers could not see the love that Joseph has shown to him, shown to them. Right? They could not see. So when you are angry with someone, yeah, chances are that you will not be able to see the love from others. Yeah? If you are a very peaceful person, every time when you sit down, when you observe, you can see the love of God in the church. Right? Every action in the church, you can sense that this is from God and how loving our brothers and sisters are. In the heart. So that's why we must learn to be peaceful, yeah, so that we can truly see the grace of God within the community of faith. If we are not happy, our spiritual eyesight are blinded. We what? We can see nothing, practically nothing. Okay? Right, now we move on. Now, how much did they sell Joseph for? How much is 20 shekels of silver? How much is that? What is today's equivalent? What is today's equivalent? Don't know. They sell Jesus. What Judas sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. This one is what, 20? How much is 20 pieces of silver? Anyone? So, how much? I don't know. I forgot. Yes. 117 pounds. 117. Okay. Now, according to the information given, is 117 pounds. So it's about $200. No, I think it's slightly. Let me see. Now it's 1.65. No, it's about $170. Well, what is the exchange rate to Taiwanese currency? £1 to what? 50 ah. So it's about 50就是117 times 5. 5,850. 可以买什么？ 臭豆腐， 臭豆， 一大碗。 550， 50嘛。 你不是乘5吗？ 乘50吗？ 这5850啊， 对不对？ 可以买臭豆腐。
You
can buy this rotten tofu. Very good. No, it's rotten. No, you can't even buy a cell phone. Can you buy a good one? Samsung with 117. No, you can't buy it. Now, at least you have to pay for about 500. To get a right, so Joseph is cheaper than a Samsung. Any amount, just want to get rid of him. That's it. Bye bye. You go. Alright, can you see now? Okay, let's say a silent prayer.
Amen. 你们5000多可以买什么东西吃？
100份臭豆腐。
100